we don't sell a food product, we sell an experience. You know, there is a lot of magic behind this business. That's what we, you know, we try to give this message to our customers.
This is The Safari. The Safari is a tour around the consumer, brand, and retailing industry. And we have the great privilege here at my company, Traub, to really be exposed to many of the great minds of the industry who are forming and shaping the future of many different parts of the consumer, brand, and retail world. And I felt it was quite interesting for us to be able to not only learn from all of those people as we do every day, but memorialize it into a podcast, which could then be shared with many of our friends and clients and you, obviously, the listener. Welcome back to The Safari. This is Morty Singer speaking. Today is the truffle episode. We're talking about fine foods, the fancy food industry, and one of the pioneers of the category in the world. Federico Balestra is the CEO of Sabatino Tartufi, or Sabatino Truffles, as people know them here in the United States. And it's a really interesting category and business. I mean, they are from Italy, but they are headquartered in the United States in West Haven, Connecticut. The business has boomed over the last 25 years since Federico moved here with a briefcase selling truffles to restaurants in New York City. And what's so wonderful is how this is an individual who, frankly, I believe is responsible for the reason why everyone across this country has truffle fries, truffle mac and cheese, in frankly many more restaurants than just the white tablecloth restaurants of the finest cities in the country. So he has been an inventor, a creator, a democratizing agent for this incredible umami flavor, which has been around for 5,000 years and has obviously been in Europe and very well used and loved in Europe for centuries. And you will learn with him today about not only the food service industry, obviously the history of truffles and where they come from and how they are found from the truffle hunters and their dogs all over Europe, but also, the way the truffle industry is growing and how the restaurant business is growing and how profitable and what an enhancer to margin and experience truffles can be. So stick around. Federico, thank you so much for joining me on The Safari today. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
I'm quite happy because this is actually the first podcast that we've done in, I think, 4 years in person. It's usually me on this machine and someone else is on Zoom. And before, we always did it face to face. So, you're breaking the trend in the positive way. So thank you for being here in person. It's great.
It's good. I'm happy to break the trend.
So the business that you own is a fantastic one. And obviously I'm biased because we recently became partners and we happily invested in your business. And it's just been a joy to getting to know you, your team, and frankly the family and the whole story behind not only obviously Sabatino, but the truffle business, the food service side of the business, the industrial side, the retail and branded side of the business. But I think what's really quite romantic is to learn a little bit, to take everyone back, forget the company for the time being. And I'd love everyone to hear about, let's just talk about truffles. Like, what is a truffle? How long has it been a staple in the menu of Western cuisine? About the trade in Italy, tell us a little bit of the history of truffles.
Truffles have been on the trade for centuries, but it became really part of our culture cuisine the last 150 years. And In Italy, Italy has been the first. I have been the first with truffles along with France. And then now you can find the harvest truffle in many other countries on the in the planet. Truffle is, you know, been in our family forever. Been our family forever. I grew up with truffle. Truffle is in our blood. It's in our, you know, being. In the last, I can say 40, 50 years, it really started to go outside Italy. Before it was a, you know, it was a, just a local product. It became part of, you know, of the Western cuisine. You know, North America became really a truffle fan the past 30, 40 years. And now everywhere.
I think you've had a big part in actually, you know, propagating truffles in this country, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. And yes, we did a big push, but, you know, I think everything started with, you know, with the local shelf in Italy and the local moms, the local families using hunting truffle behind, you know, on the forest behind the houses, and he started using it and became a part of our restaurant menus. And, you know, and from there expand around the world. And I think Italy and France have been the ambassador of the truffle business, the truffle culture.
That's absolutely right. And I think you told me that the there was an infrastructure created to farm or at least harvest maybe truffles around the time of the First World War. Tell everyone the story about why the industry exists today because of that story.
The real industry started because on the beginning of the First World War, the Italian government believed that truffle have some unique energy, and basically they were paying company like our company to collect truffles and give sell to the Italian government for the soldiers that they were in a war, finished the first World War, and we had the truffle organization, but we didn't have any customers,
no market,
no market, and basically everybody were using home, many people were using home, but there was no export market, and you know, the local industry started to put truffle in cans, start to export, thinking about an export, because at that time export, you know, in beginning of the century, extremely difficult, you know, and that's how it started.
So talking about, you know, the government believing that that truffles were the Gatorade of the early 20th century to give energy to the troops, but I mean, there may have been some truth to the medicinal quality of not just truffles, but obviously other fungi as well. But I mean, even today, there are enzymes and sort of curative qualities of a truffle, correct?
Yeah, there are, but we don't have obviously the scientific proof. But you know, truffles they are really good for your happiness.
Exactly. Well, there we go.
Every time you eat truffles,
what else do you need?
Yeah. They're like and then happiness pills. But you know, they are not scientific. But on many. Old few hundred years old books, there is some talk about truffle, their medicinal use that have been done in the Middle East. They were using truffles on the big, you know, on 1,200 years ago to cure blindness. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they were trying to cure, and it's very interesting.
Yeah. So your business and the family, you've been at this for more than 110 years from Umbria. The family is from Umbria, and Monte Castrilli in Umbria is an exquisitely beautiful place. And if anyone has never been there, they should. And I think it's a fascinating story. I mean, obviously the company's been around for such a long time, but you, Federico, showed up in America about 25 years ago, with a briefcase full of truffles, as I like to imagine you. Tell the story about how Sabatino came to the United States and today, it frankly, is really an American company based in Connecticut. And yes, we have facilities in Italy, but ultimately you built this now today as an American company servicing the American consumers.
Yes, absolutely. Let's start from where it came from. We are from Umbria, from a lovely village called Monte Castrilli, near Todi, in our north of Rome, you know, and was born there. The company was born there, and I came here in 1999. Ideally, my trip, in my mind, was supposed to be for
a week. Yeah.
I thought 2 months. I say max 2 months. It's 2 months. I go back to Italy. I open the company. I find someone help me out. And from 2 months, I went to 3, 4, 5. I guess they were 2 long months.
Yeah, quarter of a century later. Yeah.
Yeah, quarter of a century. I'm still here. And but like you mentioned a minute ago, yes, I came with almost a luggage of full of truffles. And I came here to look around for in New York City for a few restaurants. I went door to door and the business was very different that time. And I remember to Charlie Palmer, to Oreo, my first restaurant, and I went inside to ask if they buy truffles, they interested or not, and they placed an order for, at that time, $4,000, $5,000. You know, it was a lot of money coming from Italy, and had to drive off Italy to sell $5,000. And I said, oh, interesting. And it was just a question. I have no truffle, I have nothing. I called my sister and she sent it to me the day after. And then from 1, 2, 3 customer. And the way was pretty complicated, you know. I mean, and that was a easy first sale, but you know,
but many more afterwards. Yeah,
many more after, but you know, it been long 20+ years.
So let's talk about the truffle itself and the other products that are derivative from the truffle. So there's white truffles, there is winter black truffles, there are summer black truffles. Maybe explain what the difference is and how they are distinguished in your mind.
Yes, we can harvest over 200 different species of truffles, but the one they have a commercially value are only 3 or 4 species. They are 2 blacks and 1 white. But with these 3 kind of truffles, we cover more than 95% of the market. And then we have black summer truffles. Recognizable because it's black outside, white inside. It's less expensive truffles, found by the name in the summer truffles. And then we have black winter truffles start in October or November, depends on the season, finish in March, which is recognizable by the color because it's black outside and black inside. Mm-hmm. And is the most expensive of the black family. And cost even 10 times, sometimes 5 to 10 times the black summer truffles. And then we go into the white truffles.
The Rolls Royce.
The Rolls Royce, absolutely. And the Rolls Royce of truffles start in September, finish in December. And it's the most expensive, the most prestigious, the most difficult to find. And the most tasty truffles is out there.
So you talk about the most difficult to find. So let's spend a minute maybe on, I mean, there's such a romantic image of how one finds these truffles. Obviously there are dogs involved and truffle hunters who go out to look for them. Maybe explain briefly, obviously the trees and how most of it's natural, you can farm it. You know, also maybe the network of people that have to, frankly, bring you all these truffles from across Europe because you're one of the largest, if not the largest, acquirers of truffle on the planet.
Yeah. You know, find truffles is a difficult job. And, you know, different species have different difficulty. You know, find black summer truffles is an easy job. Find black winter truffle is a little bit more difficult job than summer. Find white truffle is an impossible job. You know,
are they because they're deeper or just in the forest somehow?
You know, the difference between black summer truffle, for example, white truffle is the black summer truffle growing a family. I mean, if you find one summer truffle, you have a very big chance that you have another 10 around. Mm. And they are very almost in the surface, you know, you can see almost outside the soil. And it basically is easier because you find one. And also, they grow in a clean space. I mean, around the tree, you can easily access that in a flat land. And it's a job. You know, black winter truffle, almost like summer truffles, they're a little bit deeper.
And what tree does it tend to form underneath?
Oak trees. and hazelnut trees are the two main trees that you can find truffle. There is other, you know, secondary trees like pines, other stuff like that. But, you know, oak are, and hazelnuts are the king of the production.
And white as well, same trees? Or
white,
is it different?
Yeah, a little bit different. Poplar and pine.
Poplar and pine.
And oaks, obviously. And black winter truffles, a little bit, you know, more deep than black summer, is you find one, you find maybe one, another two around, mm-hmm. you know, 10 like black summer truffles. But they're pretty easy access, accessible. They're accessible, I mean, they are not in a difficult place to find, you know. Mm. White truffles, they're a nightmare to find. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're down almost even 12, 13 inches. And you need to have a really good dog can sniff 13 inches down first. Second, they grow, they don't grow by family. One grow here, the next can be mile away.
They're solitary.
And yeah. They are solitary. And the second things are growing in a place they are not flat. Usually they are in a very uncomfortable place to reach. They are a place where they're inaccessible. Inaccessible for animal, inaccessible. Basically, the majority of the time you need to clean the area to try to access that part and to find white truffle. It's fascinating, but it's a lot of work for the hunter.
It's a lot of work.
That's why it's very expensive.
So you have relationships across the world of people who obviously are maybe sort of cooperatives of hunters who get together and they bring you and you purchase large quantities of these goods. So your business, obviously you have a fresh truffle business and there are some cities in this country where it's only you who sell into those restaurants. But there are many derivative products, which are the main thrust of the business today, into the food service channel, but into other areas as well. So what products exist that you, some of which, by the way, you have created and you've invented products that, you know, are patented and no one else can touch, importantly, remember that, everybody. And I'd love you to touch on that as well, of course. But it's just amazing the breadth of products that are able to be infused and that indeed the end consumer, but also the greatest chefs in the world are using in their kitchens today.
Yeah, and let's start from the why we start manufacturing these kind of products. We started because fresh truffle is, first, is very seasonal. And second is very difficult because truffle have only a few days shelf life. And basically, for those reasons, and because the majority of our business was export, we decided to start inventing product or thinking about product to be able to export them in an easier way, you know, by boat, by, you know, by plane, but no 2 days, 3 days shelf life. And basically, the first product came out was truffle oil. It was basically, it came out from an extraction from the truffles. And basically, it's like an extra that you put together with the oil. That was the first derivative product came on the 80s. Mm-hmm. After that, we, you know, all the product in can, in jar for the chefs, easy to use. Why they're very important products? They're important because if white truffle, for example, is only 3 months of the year, mm-hmm. you only use white truffle on the menu many more months, you don't, you can do it only with fresh. And but we preserve truffles, so you can. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the black summer truffles. Maybe, you know, because we preserve months in advance, it could be that the end of the season prices are so expensive that many menu cannot afford that. And but with a preserved truffle, you have a more stable price because we preserve the truffle at the same price, you know. And another reason is that, you know, when we sell to chains, restaurant chains, you know, it's easier to give them the same quality product. The fresh can vary from week to week, day to day, you know. And a chef can make a mistake and maybe he's not so expert with truffles and each dish costs so much more money it's supposed to cost. We preserve truffle, the issue go away because everything is already pre-sliced, prepared, pre-flavored, pre-prepared to go. Many products, another product, important product, if I go by step, that we launched in the beginning, 2002, 2003, was truffle salt. Mm-hmm. We invent that. as a Sabatino, and now you find many other truffles sold. But you know, our product is still, we own the category, and the product is very easy. It was invented because to flavor French fries, or to flavor product like that, you know, the oil was too oily. To the French fries were too saggy. We had to invent a drier product to flavor them. And the evolution came into condiment, truffle sauce, many derivative, until on I think 2015 when we launched truffle zest. Mm. Truffle zest was a game changer, not only for Sabatino but for the industry. We should have you know, many thank you letter from many competitors, because we really opened a path on the democratization of the truffles, because the truffle zest basically is a the first spice on the truffle world. Mm. And the difference with salt is a salt base. Truffle zest is a not salt base. The salt content is very low. It's like a spice, like a pepper. And many people ask me how you use truffle zest. They say, you know how to use pepper? Mm. Perfect. Now do you know how to use truffle zest?
Yeah.
That easy.
And there's a quite a fun story, I think, about the origin story behind how you invented the zest, because you were in two completely different markets of the world trying to infuse truffle into those cuisines. And each one was saying something about salt. And then you said, okay, I'm going to come up with it. Do you want to tell that?
Absolutely. Because I remember I was in Japan for a trade show. And our importer in Japan asked me if we had something to flavor that rice and not oily. I said, yeah, we have truffle salt. It's perfect. Oh, we don't put salt in our rice. Okay. And I said, he told me, you should have something like, something that is not salty. It's like a dry powder, a spice.
And they also have soy sauce, which has the umami as well. So it's kind of also quite salty.
Exactly right. And basically, all right. And I said, let me think about it. The same week, I came back at our airport in West Haven, a 1 hour driver. And I met in the parking lot. They asked me, do we have a product for my barbecue? Because I want to flavor by, my barbecue. And I told him, truffle salt. And he told me, I cannot eat salt. And it's something that's not salty, but it's like in the spicy, like a spice. Oh, God, two people same week asking me the same question or the same product from different parts of the planet. We are in something. And I call my sister in Italy. They are running the R&D for the company. And said, we need to have spice. And her answer is, you're talking about, we cannot do that.
Yeah, they all think you're crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, you're crazy. We cannot do it. You don't grind truffle, you have truffle flavor. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I know. I told her, we need to do it.
We'll be right back. I want to take a second to explain to you why Traub is able to bring you the safari. We pride ourselves in being at the very center of a very global, very complicated consumer and retail landscape. And in our travels, as we help think, manage, and expand businesses in many different channels and geographies, we're able to meet and learn from some of the great minds in this industry, and it's really wonderful to be able to bring them to you. And in doing so, I hope that you, the listener, will be able to learn a little bit more about what we do at Traub as well. Back to the safari. It's kind of fascinating, there's a business case, which is really, I find quite wonderful, about how you support all these restaurants around the world. Because at scale, not just with fresh truffles, but in a much larger scale with products that are able to elevate the menu consistently all year round, with the excitement and the fragrance and the celebration that is the truffle experience. And frankly, from a let's face it, we're all in business here. Restaurants are businesses and chefs are in business, and they want to elevate their menus so they can actually sometimes charge a higher price. They don't always want to be able to charge a higher price such that it's prohibitive to their cost of goods sold. So they actually, it's a profitable endeavor for them. And I think you have really created a system that allows many restaurants, and increasingly more restaurants as time goes on to provide the democratization of this flavor. And so talk about how interesting it is and the use cases in restaurants, if you will, such that they can do truffle fries, truffle mac and cheese, truffle, and be able to provide that consistently.
But, you know, the market changed drastically. We helped the market to change as well. You know, when I came here 25 years ago and our main customers were, you know, super high-end white tablecloth restaurants in New York, San Francisco, around the U.S., you know, then with time, we helped the product to be more democratic, meaning we help restaurants with lower tier, no white tablecloth restaurant to offer truffles, you know. And why we did that? We did with the creation of product easier to use for them. And we started with, you know, few small chains, a few open mind chain that they were open on putting truffles on their menu. You know, the truffle world scare people, scare restaurants, you know, or, you know, at least lower tier restaurants. Oh, truffles we can afford because they see the newspaper of $5,000 a pound. But now there is product that you can spend much less money to flavor your dish and give to everybody, you know. And a lot of people, 20 years ago, I was going around talking about truffle, 99% of the people were thinking about chocolate. Right now, yeah. The culture changed because thanks to food channels, thanks to traveling, people travel so much more overseas, they're more exposed to the truffle world, you know, and made our life easier.
Well, once upon a time, people used to think that Sabatino Tartuffi, they thought Tartuffi was your last name, right?
Yeah, everybody, they call me, hey, Mr. Tartuffi. They think it was my last name. Tartuffi means truffles in Italian. But, you know, in the restaurant, also the generation I see that truffle is very useful. It helped the restaurants, or at least the lower tier restaurants, because when you offer truffles, first to make your restaurant look more quality, more luxurious, less, you know, commercial, if you want to call it that. And also the generation. I see my son is 16. He grew up with a culture that I did not, or at least my generation did not, of truffle culture. And when we go around, you know, it doesn't find. He go to a restaurant. He asks for truffle fries. Oh, you don't have truffles. You look at them.
They're crazy. Like, how do they not have truffle?
You don't have a truffle fries. Not because my son with the truffle every day home. Actually, we don't eat that much truffles because we smell it all day long. But his friends are the same, you know, and because truffles is more normal. They know exactly what truffle is. You know? And they go in every restaurant and they want truffle, they want that flavor, they want that choice, and they will want more and more.
Yeah. It's interesting because today the consumer and increasingly the younger consumer wants to have a product that they know the provenance of, where it comes from. They like it to be maybe a vegan product. They want it to flavor something to make it exciting and transportative. It takes their imagination places. But there are some places and some brands that are able to try and fake this flavor. You know, it's important, is it not, to really care about the provenance, to care about authenticity, to care about the fact that it's, you know, painstakingly being taken from Italy and other parts of Europe and quality checked by you such that they're getting the real stuff. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I think all you're talking about is the result of, you know, marketing. Sometimes marketing is good. Sometimes marketing, you know, take the company or the people on a different place in a way that, you know, marketing, because company have great marketing, you think they're a great product, but doesn't always work like that. You know, company like our company, we are, you know, always being give the same message. You know, we know where truffle are. We know the truffle supposed to be, the truffle product supposed to taste. And you know, sometimes you see the marketing try to go ahead, you know, of our experience. But you know, on the end, the people go to restaurants or go to Europe or taste what truffle is, what truffle is supposed to be. And they even they buy other brands that they are better marketer than us. On the end, they come back to us, you know, I know what truffle is supposed to taste. And they use Sabatino. And the chef, they know what's, what truffle is supposed to taste. They choose us day one.
So what's the next chapter? So you know, obviously you and your sister still are the very much the leaders of this business, always have been, always will be. What are you hoping for? What's the next doors to break down for you? Where is Sabatino going next?
Sabatino is going to, you know, growing more into the food service business. It's our, you know, where we grew up, growing more into the retail business, CPG. CPG is our, you know, next natural place to be, because what people go, when people go to the restaurant, taste our product, they're used to our flavors, they won't find the same flavor into on the CPG. We help another business is helping other industrial manufacturer to flavor their product because they don't know how to truffle supposed to taste in the first place. And we are, you know, our test two test kitchen in North America. To you know, to try to help them out to flavor their potato chips or any other product they may want to flavor, and that's the place to go. And in another place, you know, in the Sabatino can grow is an education of people, and show them what truffle is. Truffles, you know, we don't sell a food product; we sell an experience. You know, and because when you think truffle as a food product, you know, you are on the wrong path. You know, we selling an experience, a food experience, and we want to make the people live the full experience. They are more than welcome to visit us in Italy to see what we're doing from our hunting places. And they need to know how truffle is supposed to smell, how truffle is supposed to be cooked, how the history, how, you know, there is a lot of magic behind this business. That's what we, you know, we try to give this message to our customers, you know. And when you buy Sabatino, you don't buy a food for dinner, you buy an experience for you and your family. And you are fortunate enough to afford more time during the month. So, you know, you are a lucky guy.
Well, I can't think of a better place to end this conversation with the magic and the experience of Sabatino truffles. Federico Balestra of Sabatino, thank you so much for spending the time with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you, everybody.
If you want to learn a little bit more about Traub, you can go to traub.io, where you'll learn a lot about everything that we do. If you're enjoying The Safari, please do share it with your friends and colleagues within the industry. And please also don't forget to subscribe and like it. Until next time.